Welcome to Into the West, a Middle-Earth SVG podcast. My name is Charles, and joining me today are Richard, Ian, and special guest, Alisher. Alisher is joining us from Philadelphia, USA, and today is another tier list episode. And in this tier list, we will be tiering, ranking all Khazad-dûm and Kingdom of Moria profiles. So before we dive into this tier list, I want to thank everyone who's contributed their artwork and their miniatures for this episode. Please go check out their Instagram handles in the description to see more of their work. To kick off this Kingdom of Moria and Khazad-dûm tier list, we have the big man himself, Durin.
On an earlier episode, Alisher brought his podium list that included Durin. I know we were quite hard on this list, I'm curious to see how Alisher would rank him on an individual basis.
Yeah, honestly, I might surprise you guys, maybe not, based on that conversation. Durin goes to legend for me. He's probably, like, if I were to make a top five heroes, he's probably on that list. Like, an actual utility, too, not just because I'm fond of him.
Are you kidding me right now?
Wow. I feel like you like him even more than the Durin show. I don't think even the guys from the Durin show would rank him as legend.
I don't know if they were that nice either.
Wow. Top five heroes in the game. I think that's a hot take right there.
Is it because of the Warhorn? Because Warhorn is typically cost 30 points. Are you considering that as like 30 points worth of value, so he's more of like a 130 point hero with a 30 point Warhorn?
Well, the thing with dwarf heroes is I think for the most part across the board, they are actually all undercosted. And that's why it's hard. Like, I think people judge Durin quite a bit harshly, because when you look at Dane is so impressive. Or you look at Thror or Thrain, they're so impressive. They're really, really cheap for what they do. So when you think about it, Durin is actually in many ways undercosted if you think about the individual things he does. But you just look at him as a hero, there's not another model in the game that is like him. First of all, he's defense 9, which I think there are 3 or 4 models in the entire game that are defense 9. He has his save rule, which is becoming more common, admittedly. He's fearless, which is really cool. I love fearless models, to be honest. He has the Ring of Durin, which helps them an army that has low might to traditionally. And then he has that Warhorn, which
I understand that he's really good in combat, really impressive stats. To me, what kind of makes that not so great is that he is only moving 5 inches and he can only be at one place at one time. And he does, for his points, he doesn't really buff the troops around him. If you look at Dane, he provides fearless and I just don't think that he makes a big enough impact for the points that he does. I'm not saying that he has a bad stat line and a bad profile. It's a good profile, but I think it's just too many points. Personally, I'm leaning towards a minor here.
Oh, that's a pretty big jump.
Oh, damn.
Oh, that is a large fall from all the way to Legends of Minor.
Don't worry, we'll get to other things that go in Minor.
Warhorn 430, but I think it's at the very least worth 15. And then I think if you account for the fact that he's wounding things statistically easier than just about any other model of his class. Like, I think of a Bard. Bard's a phenomenal hero. Bard's wounding things on 5s and 6 pretty religiously. Durin is wounding them on 4s. He's also rerolling 1s, which Bard isn't doing. And he's not a mounted hero, but because of his Durin reroll, he feels more like a mounted hero.
I think I just find that as great as his stat line is, I think when you're looking at other dwarf heroes, like, they're just as good and or almost just as good. And a lot of them are like 40 to 50 points less. So, like, of course, like, the D9 is great and stuff, but then you see that on Thror, you know, and Thror is like, can act as a banner. And then, you know, Thrain has like a +1 to wound. He might have all the pieces all in one profile, but, you know, you can find like individual special rules that are similar to his on a cheaper hero. Yeah, I think it's pretty rough, but I might have to agree with Charles here. It's a minor. I mean, we'll average this out, but I'll have to toss my vote for a minor here.
Okay, you guys are like just ragging on this freaking profile. I mean, like, I agree. I don't think it's like that amazing. I don't think it's that bad, though. Like, holy.
Leave him alone!
I was stuck somewhere between a fortitude and a valor. I think, I guess I'll go with a fortitude. If everybody's happy with that compromise. Maybe not happy, but.
Yeah, I think Alisher's vote kind of dragged it up to fortitude.
If it wouldn't sway you guys, I at least skewed the averages to bring endurance.
If he was 140 points, I think it'd make a big difference. And I think he'd probably be at a pretty good spot. But 160 just feels like other heroes who are in like that 160 point like cost range and plus just do a lot more than he does. He's just not quite in that kind of a bracket. And then you're still paying that level of points for it. And then as we said earlier, when you pay for the Hearthguard upgrade, that's an expensive upgrade too. So it's hard to get value out of that.
We just want to recognize and shout out our patrons. Thank you all for your support. You guys are awesome. If you are interested in more content or other perks that we have, please visit our Patreon page, link in the description.
Okay. Next, we have Mardin.
I would put him right next to Durin. He's fine. Nice little three might guy.
I actually think that Durin might be better than him, because just looking at his profile, he's the same points as a Dwarf King, and his stat line just isn't as good. I mean, I think you would mostly take him for the three might, but he doesn't really have any great heroics. He only has heroic strength, so he's basically there for heroic moves and heroic combats, and he has like a thematic rule with his spear, but that doesn't come up that much. So I don't think he's that great for his points. What do you guys think?
Don't tell me you want to put him in independent.
Well, you would always want to take a Dwarf King before you take him, right? Is there a situation where you would want him for the third point of might?
Maybe if there was like a monster meta where like people just spam Mortal Trolls.
I don't even know. I mean, but then you don't have a march. Oh crap! Because Durin doesn't have march.
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't put him in independent. I don't think he's that bad. Like he can get to a point where if he's fighting a cave troll, he can wound the cave troll on like threes, I think, doing D3 wounds. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of niche, but you know, he still has a role he can fill.
I'd put him at a minor.
Yeah.
I think he's a might battery. I when he's in my list, he's it. My 650 list, and it's for my battery. It's also like monsters are actually quite common in the game right now, so getting plus one to wound on all monsters is pretty nice, I would say.
If he's spear supporting, it becomes plus two, I think, because I think he has a special rule and then the foe spear. So he has a special rule that gives him plus one, and then the foe spear, if you look in the Vault Warden rules, they also get plus one. So I'm pretty sure it stacks. At least I always read it that way.
All right. Floy Stonehand. I mean, I don't think we've talked as much about the Kingdom of Moria. Kingdom of Moria is, I think, actually pretty underrated when it's like a smaller points match. I think I personally really like Floyd because of shenanigans, but I think it does take a little bit of experience because you have to know the opponent's special rules.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's not as like last edition, he would be legend for me because he was really easy to ally in. And then you could combine his rule-taking away ability with just so much shenanigans. Now you pretty much only get to take him in this pure list with Balin, unless you want to do a Red Alliance.
There's a line on Floyd's profile that says if you take him, then your only other named hero is Balin. So in Kingdom Moria, you're giving up the option to take Gimli. So does that put more like of the combat sort of duties on Balin, which is your leader? Balin's going to have to pull more weight.
I mean, I didn't realize Gimli got cut out of that, but you're still going to grab a King's Champion first before you grab Gimli in that list. So if you have Balin, a King's Champion, and Flowey, like, your next choice, I think, well, I've always thought you could take Gimli with him, honestly.
Yeah, but, not according to his profile.
I think it helps that Kingdom of Moria has like a lot of great unnamed heroes. So it's not as big of a handicap. I think I personally would put him in Valor.
Sorry, does that rule cut out Owen and Ori as well?
Yeah, I think so. If your force contains Flowey, then the only other named hero from this list that it may contain is Balin the Dwarf, King of Moria.
But those aren't technically in this list.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is under Balin's profile, right? Because there's two paragraphs under Balin. One says that your army, you can also include those two champions. And then the paragraph underneath that, it lists the entire army list, all the options.
It'd be much easier if they just said Flowey cannot be taken with Durin and Gimli. That would solve so many problems.
Yeah.
Why did they write it like that? Oh.
Anyway, I think that in the hands of a good player that knows the rules well and knows rules of various armies really well, Flowey is an easy like top tier hero because you can take advantage of that, and sometimes you can neutralize rules that really cripple your opponent. But I would say that I would agree with Richard that it would be in Valor because, you know, it's very difficult to get to that point and to know exactly like against every army which rule you would neutralize at which turn. I think it takes a lot of experience before you could get there.
It's my worst matchup for my Watcher in the Water. I hate it.
No shooting for you. Oh, wait, can you just get rid of the rule where you show up? No, because you're not on the board yet. Okay. Still though, that's funny.
Don't even think that, Ian. That's dirty.
Yeah, I was gonna put him in a Valor as well. He's really solid, but it's hard to get the best use out of him. And it's knowing what rules to take away. It's also knowing how to do that so you can exploit that rule being gone with your list. And exploiting things like that with like this dwarf list is harder because you don't have a lot of like shenanigans like and big damage dealers and stuff.
I like Flowey quite a bit in concept. I think in practicality, with how restrictive it is to play him, I would say a Fortitude. I don't like, where's the, like, it's kind of counterintuitive because you almost want Flowey to go against big heroes with big special rules, but you also don't want that to happen because you don't want Balin going against those big heroes with big special rules. So for me, it's a Fortitude.
Okay, so I think with three votes for Valor, we'll put him in the low end of Valor here.
Okay, next we have Balin. So I actually like Balin. I know that a lot of people point out his two attacks and it being like pretty low for like a named Dwarf Lord. I actually think he's pretty decent for his points. You know, at low points, you have the Heroic March, which is uncommon on an army leader. And so it basically you can at low points, you can skip taking a captain or a king sometimes and just take him and a champion and maybe Flowey. But I think he's pretty well rounded. I would also put him in Valor.
Yeah, I think people like overstate how like fragile he is. I mean, he has like all the great heroics, right? Like March Strike Defense. He's still D8 and I don't know. He has like good special rules too. Like he has the Durin's Axe, so he can get that extra dice even on the two attack, and then Longbeard. So I don't know. Yeah, I like him as well. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, he's solid, I guess, but He brings enough to the table at 100 points where he doesn't feel like he's overcosted. He kind of feels like he's right where he should be. But that be also being said, you know, 100 point hero of legend, that is pretty cheap. So if you want to run the spam list, which Khazad-dûm does do pretty well, he is a good choice.
He's 110.
Ah, never mind. He's a little bit overcosted then.
Yeah,
he's probably still all right.
50 points less than Durin, and considering how high I plays Durin, like, you lose a lot for those 50 points. You don't get Fearless, which I'm a big fan of, even though he's card 6. You don't get the Warhorn. You don't cause terror, which Durin also causes terror. You lose a defense, lose a wound, lose an attack. Yeah, for me, probably a Fortitude.
With the 50 points that you're saving from not taking Durin, that's 7 or so Warriors with Shield that could be pretty handy in objective capturing scenarios, could make the difference. But I see your point on having that large hero, and that's not who Balin is.
Yeah, I would probably say as well, like, once you get to the higher points levels, and I think I could see the Durin argument a lot more, but I think maybe like 500 and under, I think I would say that Balin over Durin every day.
So is that average Valor?
Ian, did you give Balin a score?
I was going to plonk him in Valor.
Okay.
Should we put him before? Probably ahead of Floyd, right?
Yeah. I mean, you got to have him to have Floyd, so.
Next, we have Gimli, Son of Glowing.
So, I used to like him in this list until we started talking about Floey's special rule and list building restrictions. And now I'm not sure what heroes Gimli can be taken with in this list. I mean, I guess he could be taken with Balin as long as you don't have Floey, but you usually end up going with Balin and then Floey.
List building aside, like, what about his profile? Because would you guys say that he's slightly overcosted because he has the synergy in the Fellowship where he could potentially get the +1 wound, but that doesn't activate at all in Kingdom of Moria?
Yeah, so I think he is, compared to other dwarf heroes, he's overcosted. Compared to other heroes in his like bracket who'd be fighting on foot, he's perfectly fine. If that makes sense. Like we were saying earlier, like dwarf heroes on foot tend to be cheaper than they should be because they're restricted to being on foot. So, you know, he's fine. If he was 10 points cheaper like he used to be, I wouldn't complain. I think that's probably a better spot for him. But if he's in the Fellowship list where he's getting this special rule to activate, sure, he's worth 100 points. In this one where he can't get it to activate, it'd be nice if he was 90, but I don't think you're missing out on a ton.
Yeah, because in this, you gain the ability to lead troops, which the Fellowship version doesn't really get that.
I think he's a nice, like, 3-attack hero, but, you know, with other heroes on this list, I don't think he generally makes the cut. I think he's fine, but, yeah, maybe if you take Kingdom of Moria at, like, higher points. I would probably stick him in Fortitude.
Yeah, but yeah. Above or below Durin.
We know Alistair's answer.
I think he's slightly above.
Ian?
I don't know, but I was going to put him above. I think he might actually be below because I'm just, I'm going back to the flowy thing. That's really throwing me off. All right. Put him below Durin. Yeah, I think he goes below Durin.
There are a few things that I like about Gimli quite a bit. First of all, 3 might as opposed to 2 might on a King's Champion. 2 will, 2 fate instead of 1. And always being defense 8 is great. Being curd 6 off the bat. I like that quite a bit. To an extent, I know where Durin is on this list, considering where I have Durin on my mental list. I honestly would put Gimli on Valor, to be honest. I just, he does, like, he checks a lot of boxes.
That's fair enough.
Ori the Dwarf, Champion of Erebor. So if you guys remember, we did bring this up in our Worst Heroes of the Game bracket video, where he was included in the top 16. some of Ori's rules just barely apply here because they haven't really addressed it in an FAQ. So he has Swarm Protector, Thorn, Oakenshield. Obviously, Thorn's not in this list. It's pretty logical that it should be Balin. And also his Chronicler rule, where he has a chance of giving stuff back to heroes, only applies to Oin in this list because he's the only other champion of Erebor. So...
Does it apply to himself?
And himself. But, like, wouldn't it be nice if it was any hero in the Kingdom of Moria list and he could stack it with Floyd getting his will back? And I would put him so much higher if that was the case.
Yeah, no, like, the way it is right now, he's, like, Floyd light, but, like, really worse. Like, that's somehow worse than what that sounds like.
I know his uses in the FU.
I think he's automatically independent here, because the reason you would take him in Erebor Reclaimed is for his shenanigans, but his shenanigans don't even work in Kingdom of Moria.
Yeah. Like, even Flowey is better at combat than him. Because Flowey has strength 4. He's still only has strength 3, right?
Yeah, he's strength 3.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. There's just so... I don't know. Maybe at like 300 points, you take Balin and him, so you can get extra warband slots. But even then, I still don't think.
No, you know.
Nice try, but no chance.
On this one, you guys have my full support. He is entirely worthless, as far as I'm concerned. Independent hero.
All right, and his buddy, who's along for the ride with them, does Owen's special rules work on everybody else?
Yes, it's a friendly model, so at least his special rules work. The banner reroll at the cost of a will and healing of a wound. The only one that doesn't work is he still is a swarm protector to Thorin.
I mean, there's some utility there, right? Especially in this list, if you don't take the King's Champion.
I think you do take him. You're going to do it if you have the King's Champion, because, like, you're going to want to give his special reroll to the King's Champion and Gimli so they can be rolling 5 dice to win the fight, right, as opposed to 4. Because Balin already rerolls both of his dice if he has a banner nearby.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see it in a list if you don't go the flowy option. Plus, so you go Balin, Gimli, a champion, and then him.
Plus Balin and the champion both only have one. Well, the champion can have more fate, but Balin only has one fate. So it's reassuring to have a hero that can potentially restore that, you know, keeping your leader alive.
So what do we think? Where does he go?
Above Ori and probably below Martin. In which bracket? I don't know.
Yeah, I'd put him around the same as Martin.
Yeah, I would put him minor hero. Slightly worse than Martin, in my opinion.
All right, Dwarf Kings. I really like these guys. I think probably one of the best unnamed heroes. They got the Fight 6, Heroic March. Yeah, really, really solid here.
Basically, the only way you can ally this list without it being a red or impossible alliance.
Well, you can technically ally Durin, right? For convenient.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that is true.
Yeah, it's a nice way to get March in your list and also Fight 6 at a pretty low cost. I've taken 2 of them in a list before just because of how accessible and how cheap they are. And yeah, I think they're pretty reliable with their defense 8 as well. So if they have to be your leader, I've also played in a tournament where Dwarf King was my leader. So the defense 8 is pretty solid. So I like this profile quite a bit. I think this was my first legend of the list. I don't know if you guys agree.
I think it's better than Balin, but I don't know if it's quite the legend here.
Yeah, I would put him in Valor, personally.
Ian, you're the tiebreaker here.
I don't know. I kind of wanted to put him in legend, but also he's just like a 75-point hero. Like, he's not like that amazing. He just brings some nice things to the table in the list. So
the one thing we haven't mentioned is, the two will is nice, and also that he's a hero of valor. So in certain builds where you're trying to kind of hoard out a bit, he's a great pick.
Yeah, I'd probably just leave him where you have him there on the... Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. All right. Dwarf captain. All right, so Elsher had this in his list that he brought. So I assume that you would rank him pretty high here as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't put... Like, as much as I like the Dwarf Captain, I think that in terms of utility, the King is worth more. I would put the Captain Fortitude on behind, in this case, Durin and Gimli.
I think I would agree with that.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He's still a nice Fight 5 Captain. Nothing amazing, but, you know, he's kind of in that spot, I think, partially because the Dwarf King does exist. And then just like that, the Fight 6 and the extra couple stats kind of, he just gets shied away from because the Dwarf King exists, but he's still a solid profile.
Yeah, and the throwing axes on both the Captain and the King is really nice too.
Okay, the King's Champion.
This one's easy, right?
Definitely a minor hero.
I think there's a reason that we see this on most tournament, most Khazad-dûm lists and Kingdom Warrior lists. The value is just, I think, one of the best in the game. You're getting two banners and a very powerful combat hero, all 440 points.
Yeah, no disagreements from me. I think it goes in Legend.
Well, no, see, I would put in Valor, personally. I just, you know, Gimli's 40 points cheaper. Gimli does certain things better. I mean, if you think two banners, I mean, they're definitely undercosted in comparison. I like him more than Gimli for 90% of lists, but I would put him on a similar level. So for me, it's a Valor, but you guys all seem to think Legend, so.
If I was going to put anything in this list in Legend, I think I'd put him there still. So
I think we should put some revised graphics of Alisher's rankings here. It's pretty interesting.
Very different, yeah.
Okay, then we have the Shield Bearer.
Shield Bearer is a Fortitude for me, but the worst of the Fortitudes.
It's a pretty interesting profile, but I haven't really seen it as much. I guess, which is interesting because, personally, I quite like Darrowine, so it's not like the ability is a bad ability, but I guess the heroic stats aren't that great. Like, one might zero will zero fate, probably takes him down a notch.
Yeah, it's just his heroic stats aren't the greatest. And the way that the heroic combat special rule works now, it's also not the greatest. He used to have a lot more flexibility with that. It's because of that he just gets, put in the corner a bit too much. There's just other options that seem better.
I'm just wondering, would you actually take Martin over him as a might battery? Because I guess they're the opposite, right? One has three might and one has one might, but has the free hero combat ability.
See, dwarves are interesting because the way you build the list dictates a lot. I've built lists where Martin would be more useful to me than the Shield Bearer. I have a list where the Shield Bearer is more important to me than Martin. It really depends. So if you're going to take the Champion and a Dwarf King, I would probably almost always take Martin before I take the Shield Bearer. If I'm going to take a list with Balin and a Dwarf King, or Balin and Gimli, I will probably take the Shield Bearer before Martin. I guess Martin can't be in the list, but in terms of equivalent value.
And the Courage reroll special is pretty nice too. So yeah, I agree with where you're putting it. That's probably where I would put it.
Bottom of Fortitude.
Yeah. Okay, now we're on to the warrior profiles. So to start off, we have the Dwarf Warrior.
I think these are quite good. I'm not 100% sold on the Dwarf Bows because they're just 18-inch range. I know people really like the strength 3, but I think we'll talk about it later, but I think the Rangers actually do a better job there. But the Dwarf Warrior with shield, I think when we talk about bang for the buck, I think he, or they have really good value there.
I mean, at face value, it is one of the best profiles for knight points in the game.
Yeah, I see a lot of beginners gravitate towards Khazad-dûm because of this profile and just how forgiving it is. I think due to the Dwarf Warrior, how you could just take dozens and dozens of them in a list, and they can sit on objectives, and sometimes they just don't die, especially if you keep shielding. If you guys think they're one of the best warriors in the game, then I think it could be a contender for Legend.
I actually see the opposite of what you said. I think they're a bit underrated. A lot of beginner players actually see the Khazad Guard, the next profile we're going to talk about, and then they're like, oh yeah, I want to spam out on those. But I think the Dwarf Warriors are really, really good. Yeah, I think this is a tough one. I think either Valor or Legend for me.
I mean, the only downside is they don't have access to spears. On the profile itself, that's the one thing that is missing.
I think I would be okay with, like, on the high end of Valor here.
Like, they are the core of your list, right? Dwarf Warrior Shield is, it, you know, unless you're playing a Ranger heavy build, they are going to be the basic troop. You know, they're going to fill up half of your numbers in most cases, and they do it really well. So, yeah, I'd upper Valor or lower Legend is kind of where I'd plonk them.
Yeah, I would agree. For the sake, like, in context of the list, I think probably lower Legend, though higher Valor is, like, you could argue. For the sake of this, I would say lower Legend.
Let's do low Legend. Okay, now we have the Khazad Guard.
I guess we can add in, like, the Hearthguard upgrade here as well. So, Alisher, I think you've had the most experience.
That's the lowest end of Valor. Like, you can't deny what they're capable of doing, A, being bodyguard, but also being defense 7 and having access to strength 4 Burly. But they're not, I mean, even in my list, like, I don't take 18 of them. I take maybe 10 of them. So they're not even the most common model in the list for me. So for me, it would probably be the lowest end of Valor.
Over the years, I don't think they're as good as they used to be. I don't know if you guys agree. There's a lot more Fight 5 around these days, and they just don't seem as scary as, like, you know, a few years ago. So I think I agree. I might put them closer to the middle of Valor, but...
Ian, you like these guys?
I thought they were going to end up in Legend, honestly. just because, like, we usually see people running tons of these guys.
I think that's the pit of how people play Khazad-dûm. They like it because it's not, like, an immediate loss, but then people go away from it because they can't win with it. Because they have 18 of these guys who have one attack, they don't necessarily benefit from the subtle nuances of the other troops, and then they just get outnumbered. That's how I see them.
Yeah. The defense 7 and strength 4 is really nice, though, as a basic frontline unit, and they're not too expensive, right? Like, 11 points is still pretty good considering they also have bodyguard. So, yeah, as long as they're somewhere in Valor, yeah, I'm happy.
Richard?
Yeah, I think I would put them around there, low Valor.
Next we have the Iron Guard.
I love these guys, so I would put them on the other side of Floyd, though. I still think the Khazads are better. But I do really rate the Iron Guard.
Yeah, I think, personally, I don't know. I find them a little over-costed. I think they do a lot, but you have to definitely build, like, a particular list to fit them in. You can't just, like, throw them in any Khazad-dûm list, whereas I think the Dwarf profile, Dwarf Warrior profile, and the Khazad Guard, you can generally just throw them in any list. Because for 15 points, like, these guys, and D6, like, these guys go down. Like, any shooting army will probably target these guys first. And, yeah, I don't know. I'm not completely sold on them. But, of course, yeah, like, any two-attack warrior model is obviously has potential.
Yeah, I kind of have them in between Balin and the Dwarf Kings. They're not quite the best thing on Valor, but they're definitely, like you said, there's a niche way you play them, and if you play them that way, they play very well. Otherwise, they're just kind of okay.
So you actually like them more than the Khazad Guard in general?
Yeah, I think that Khazad-Dûm, it's kind of like, it's the one-dimensional way to play Khazad-Dûm. I think it's kind of your immediate go-to. It's really interesting playing the Iron Guard because it changes, like, it's almost like a new list. Like the way I like to play it with 10 Iron at 650, 10 Iron Guard, 10 Rangers with bow and throwing axe, and then the 12 guys with shield. The shield guys, again, they're two attacks because I'm going to shield with them almost exclusively. The Iron Guard just rip through things, especially with, like, I guess I can't consider the pure bonus because it's not part of the profile, but they just rip through things, especially with the throwing axe. So for me, it's like they are the old edition Uruk-hai, but in this edition, because they're still defense X. So for me, I like them quite a bit.
All right, Charles?
Yeah, I think I would put them at the low end of Valor. I think Khazad-Dûm have a slight edge. They're not overcosted. Iron Guard might be by a point or two. That's the only reason, really. I understand the tools that Iron Guard brings, and personally, I run a few whenever I play Khazad-Dûm, but they're not as spammable as Dwarf Warrior or Khazad-Dûm, and that's the reason why I put them slightly lower. So low end of Valor for me.
Well, we could just put them beside each other. I think they have their different uses there. All right, the Dwarf Rangers. Yeah, like I was saying before, I think these guys are definitely underrated.
Yeah. I actually think that they're one of the best bowmen in the game. You know, it's a Ranger profile with Defense 5. You know, you think Defense 5 is soft for a Dwarf, but all the other Ranger profiles are Defense 4. So when the Dwarf Army lacks in mobility, the 24-inch range on the longbows really come in handy. So Khazad-Dûm is actually a really good shooty list if you want to build it that way, because they are quite cheap.
Yeah, I remember, Charles, you had a, like, was it 500-point, like, Khazad-Dûm list with, like, just, like, spam Rangers, and I think you had a Dwarf Ballista, too, and yeah. You did well with that.
Yeah, just the basic Dwarf Ranger with longbow at 9 points is pretty awesome. I don't know if they're as good as the Dwarf Warrior, but I might put them in above the two elites that we just talked about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think I would put them at the end of Valor. My justification in that is it creates an awkward defense differential in your list to where your opponent has a key side of your army that they're going to naturally target because it's easier to kill them to break you. The versatility of the Dwarf Rangers, though, is through the roof. I'm a huge fan. I like them quite a bit with throwing axes, but that's the way I've engineered the list that I like. So I would put them behind Floy.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. As good as they are, you can definitely build lists that don't include them, and you'll be fine. Yeah, I think this is fair.
Yeah, I think I'm good with that.
And our final warrior is the Vault Warden team.
I haven't gone up against it too many times, but I think one thing that I've noticed with Alisher's list and also like UK Khazad-Dûm player, that's really good. I think the common denominator here is Vault Wardens. So I think it takes a bit of skill, but I think it's definitely up there when it comes to specialty warriors.
Yeah, I would put it on Valor. The troops are really where Khazad-Dûm shines probably the most. I think all of their troops are great at takes. Where on Valor, I don't know that I could say. Probably between Iron Guard and Floy as they're currently positioned.
Is there a reason why you wouldn't put them higher or at the really top?
You know, it boils down to a play style. So the guy in the UK, Ali King, he would probably put them on legend. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he said they're legend. Like, a lot of lists, like with Gondor, for example, if you're going to play Boromir, you're going to play almost a similar format no matter how you do it. With Khazad-Dûm, like, it's crazy considering how few profiles you have, how many different ways you can play them, right? We've already been talking about the people who take 18 Khazad-Dûm. We've talked about, shared about having Rangers, Iron Guard, and Dwarves. We've talked about just sheer spam of Dwarves. So there's so many variations, oddly enough, of this army to where it just boils down to preference. I'm going to take, in terms of enjoyment or in terms of what I think is competitively suited, I probably take the Iron Guard and the Dwarves with Shield before I take them. That's my only.
I think I personally would go probably slightly higher, but again, I think I don't have enough experience to say here, so I would probably defer to Alistair's experience. But I mean, just I guess the few times I've gone up against them, maybe I just had this strength four heroes with like no modifiers, but they're just tough to crack through. And yeah.
From the games I've played against them, I guess the downside is that if you are in a situation where you are losing, it can be hard to protect the foe spear. And once the foe spear is gone, you know, the shield is not as great. So when you are kind of in a losing battle, it can be a little bit of a liability in your army. But yeah, I'm good with that placement around the Iron Guard level.
Yeah, I guess that's, I think I'm good with that. I was going to put them below the Rangers, but I think that's fine compared to what everybody else is saying. I'm okay with that.
Okay. And the final profile we have is the Dwarf Ballista. I think this one is a little bit underrated. When I say Dwarf Ballista, most people think Iron Hill Ballista, and I have to be really specific. No, the one from Khazad-dûm. I really like this one. You get a big punch of hitting power from range. And again, if you're spamming out Rangers and you want to win the shoot war, I think this really helps with that kind of strategy.
And I mean, it's cheap, right? Cheap, and the shoot value is decent and really good range. So I think it's solid.
One downside is that it only comes with two crew. So the out of like the small engines, you know, the Avenger Bolt Thrower got FAQ to three crew. This engine still has only two crew. So it can be neutralized quite easily if you don't protect the crew. I would say that's probably the main downside to them. I think playing with siege engines always require a little bit of a coin toss. So even though I'm a big fan of them, I wouldn't say that they're legend or anything. But I'd probably put them top of Fortitude or the bottom of Valor, just because I don't think it fits in every list. You have to have a specific kind of list that you're writing. But they can be really effective if you are able to fit them in.
I think I would go probably like middle, like smack in the middle of Fortitude, probably above the Dwarf Captain, but below Gimli.
Yeah, I see it in that range. I kind of have a similar viewpoint as Charles, either like very bottom of Valor or kind of close to the top of Fortitude. It plays very similarly to the Isengard Ballista. I'm trying to think of key differences between them. The smaller profile, to an extent, makes it easier to defend as well in comparison to the Uruk-hai one. So those things considered, I just think it's a solid take. But it's another one of those things. You can make an entirely new style of a list.
Yeah, I was thinking that gap between Gimli and the Captain is looking real nice. Having the Ballista does cover one of the weaknesses of this list, right? Where it's hard for you to pull the enemy towards you, and this is a very easy way to change that around.
So would the average be above Gimli? Because
oh yeah, because you guys rate it a little higher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Alistair, for joining us in this epic tier list. Thank you all for watching. Look forward to the next episode of Into the West podcast.